الحمد لله وكفى وسلام على عباده الذين اصطفى. أما بعد، أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله وكفى وسلام على عباده الذين اصطفى. أما بعد، أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. ولا تكن من الغافلين. سبحان ربك رب العزة عما يصفون وسلام على المرسلين والحمد لله رب العالمين. اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم. اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم. اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم. In Surah Al-A'raf, ayat number 205, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives a command, وَلَا تَكُمْ مِنَ الْغَافِلِينَ, that do not allow yourself to become heedless of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to become ghafil, to become forgetful. So other than shaitan and our nafs and dunya and makhluk, these four things that we have talked about, that Allah Ta'ala speaks about in the Quran, the four things that are keeping us away from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Again, number one is shaitan. Number two, our nafs. Number three, dunya and love for this world. And dunya again being defined as that thing which is other than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and that keeps us away from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That ghayrullah that keeps us away from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that is dunya. And the fourth thing is makhluk. And makhluk is creation. The different members of creation, or our impermissible, unlawful love for different members of creation, they also keep us away from Allah, distract us from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So shaitan, nafs, dunya and makhluk. And for those who understand Urdu, if you just take the first letter of each one of them, each one of these words, you can make up a new word which is called dushman. Dal for dunya, sheen for shaitan, meem for makhluk, and noon for nafs. And dushman means enemy. So these are like the enemies that keep us away from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. There is a fifth thing which is in addition to these four, shaitan, nafs, dunya, and makhluk. There's a fifth thing that keeps us away from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that is very widespread and prevalent in us. And the month of Ramadan also, in its mercy, in its power, has the potential, has the power to cure us from this fifth thing. And this fifth thing is called ghaflat. And Allah says in Quran, وَلَا تَكُن مِنَ الْغَافِلِينَ, that don't be among those who are ghafil. Now ghaflat means two things. Ghaflat means, number one, our laziness. And because of that laziness, a person becomes forgetful or heedless. And ghaflat number two also means that we are uncaring. That's a new way we can define ghafla, that we are uncaring, and that's why we forget. That's why we become heedless. That's why we become lazy. So when any time any person in any relationship, they can either be caring in that relationship or they can be uncaring in that relationship. For example, if there is a child and a parent, and if the mother and father, they feel that my son or daughter is not caring towards me, does not bother to do what I tell them to do, not because they disagree, not because they're busy, not because they want to do something else, but simply out of ghaflat. Which means that on the one hand, that child is being lazy or simply too lazy to do it, but what is the source of that laziness? And this is a mistake that many of us make. We think that the laziness itself is a source. Laziness is not a source. It's not an illness. It's a symptom of an illness. And the la illness that laziness is a symptom of, that illness is that we are uncaring. You see, if you care about someone, you won't be lazy. If you really value someone, respect someone, love someone, you won't be lazy about your responsibilities towards them. I'll give you a few examples. You see, in worldly love, and you will see that if someone falls in love, they will not have ghaflat towards their beloved, because they love their beloved. They will be caring towards their beloved. They will be extremely prompt, extremely proactive in the relationship with their beloved. That's the meaning of love. So, for example, I think we have mentioned before also at some point, think about Leila and Majnun, the classic love story. You cannot imagine that Majnun, despite having so much love for Leila, and still he was uncaring towards Leila. You can't imagine that. Or if somebody asked Majnun that, did you make a round of the street of Leila today? He'll respond and say, no, I was feeling lazy today. No way. Today I was just a bit sus. I thought that I'll forget about Leila today. Let me take a break one day. Because of my laziness, I did not go to her door. Never. Impossible that Majnun could ever say such a thing. So laziness is actually a symptom. It's actually an evil that is born out of our being uncaring. And that child that is caring towards his parents, he will never have ghaflat. Whenever his parents tell him to do something, he will be sure to do it. He will try to anticipate beforehand, what is it that my parents need or want. He will try to do that even before they ask him. He's proactive in that relationship. These are words we use in English language to describe our relationships between human beings. Actually, the same thing is between husband and wife. Some of you might be unmarried, most of you, in fact, might be unmarried here, I think, in my audience. When you grow older, you will realize this, right? Except a handful of you, most of you will realize this, that sometimes the husband will complain about his wife, and sometimes the wife will complain about your husband. works both ways. What are they complaining about? Ghaflat. So the wife might say that, well, when I asked him to do something for me, it's the last thing on his mind. He will remember everything else, but he'll forget what I asked him. I sent him to the store. He will find all types of interesting things. And he doesn't go to the store often. So he goes to the store and he finds all these interesting things for himself and buys them, brings them home. And he will forget to buy and bring that one thing which I told him to bring. He's not attentive to my needs. Some of your elders may be able to explain this to you better, right? In good 5 years, 10 years from now, and this is a problem. He's not attentive to my needs, Ghaflat. And there'll be other husbands who have a caring attitude towards their wife. Therefore, they're always attentive to her needs, thinking beforehand what she would want. When they walk into the store, they will get everything on the list. And then they will be looking into the store, not saying that, oh, what I like, but looking into the store and saying that what is it that maybe she would also like? And she didn't think of putting that on the list. That's a different kind of a relationship, caring relationship, where there is no ghafla. Now, to come to this ayat of the Quran, Allah Ta'ala, our problem is that we have ghaflat towards Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala. You see, the way you describe something is going to change the effect that you feel in your heart. If you don't do something and you just say that, oh, I was lazy, and it's a big excuse that we sometimes use for ourselves, this is a very big deception that we have. Let me say I was lazy, and then it doesn't make us feel bad anymore. We think we presented some excuse, some valid excuse, some reason for not doing something. We leave something that was farz or a wajib when we say that I'm lazy, as if we gave a very big dalil proof that just look at my studies, I can prove to you that I'm lazy. So we think we try to excuse this way, I'm lazy by nature, I'm a lazy person. And for many of us, it is true that we are lazy people. We are lazy in our studies, we're lazy in our eating. Some people may be lazy in many different ways. But laziness is not an attribute that comes in relationships. Right? If you procrastinate, if you don't do well in your studies, if you don't eat on time, if you don't exercise, whatever it is, in terms of activities, you can say I'm lazy. And this is the difference when it comes to relationships, right? We cannot say the word lazy. Instead of saying lazy or I'm lazy, when it comes to messing up our relationship with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then we should start thinking about the other word. We should start thinking that it's not simply that I'm lazy. Because if you say I'm lazy, that will make us relax and we think it's okay, everything is fine. But if you use the other word that I'm uncaring, that is going to change the effect on your heart. If you wake up in the morning and you missed Fajr, and you say I was lazy, you won't feel that bad. We'll still be remorseless. But if you wake up and tell yourself I was uncaring towards Allah, then you will start feeling something in your heart that, oh Allah, what happened to me that I'm uncaring towards you? The way you describe things, the way you view things, the way you perceive things, that is going to change the way you act. Tabir. So we should stop making, we should try to give up this excuse for ourselves that we are lazy. Even though in some sense, yes, that's factually true. But the cause of that laziness is not that we are lazy in terms of our temperament or personality or adat. And now we come to the big word, which is ibadat. We are lazy in our ibadah. If you ask a person, a Muslim, normally he will say that I don't do worship because I'm lazy. And sometimes a person will use that sentence for farz ibadah, I don't pray 5 times a day because I'm lazy. Sometimes a person will use that for the sunnah ibadah. Sometimes a person will use that for nafil ibadah. I don't read Quran because I'm lazy. I don't make dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala because I'm lazy. I don't make istighfar, seek Allah's forgiveness because I'm lazy. I don't send and recite durood and salawat on the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam because I'm lazy. I don't make zikr and remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala because I'm lazy. And the second, they're able to say that they don't do this nafil ibadah because they're lazy. That's an excuse, right? They think it's an acceptable reason. So now, just imagine if we can just change one word of that sentence. See how the impact will differ. The impact will be completely different. So if a person say that, just replace that sentence, just change one word. I don't pray 5 times a day because I'm uncaring towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I don't pray 5 times a day because I don't care about Allah ta'ala. That's the real way to say it. I don't follow the Sunnah because I don't care about the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. That's the way to put it. I don't read the Quran because I don't care about the Quran. That's the way to say it. I don't make istighfar, ask Allah Ta'ala's forgiveness because I don't care about my sins. Or I don't recite durood and salawat and blessings on the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam because I couldn't care less about him. Why should I recite the durood on him? I'm uncaring. Or I don't make zikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, I don't remember Allah ta'ala because I couldn't care less about loving him. Now a completely, totally different impact, right? When I said that I don't read Quran because I'm lazy, and I asked them how many say this, you'll raise your hand, I'll raise my hand, right? All of, we'll be willing to raise our hand for that. I don't read Quran because I'm lazy. Now, if I said that now who wants to raise their hand that I don't read Quran because I don't care about the Quran? I feel scared. We feel scared, right? There's a hakikat, there's a reality here that we are actually uncaring. The symptom of being uncaring is that we are lazy. That's the symptom of the illness, that's not the illness. So we have to become people who are caring so that we can remove that ghafla. And that's what Allah says in Quran, that wala takum min al ghafili, that don't be among those who are ghafil, don't be among those who are uncaring in the relationship with Allah. And that's why elsewhere Allah says that wa alaysa lil insani illa ma sa'a, that no human being is going to get anything, whether it is something of the dunya or something in the deen, whether it is something in a relationship with makhluk, or whether it is becoming closer in our relationship to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, illa ma sa'a, except that he or she must make effort. They must strive towards it. That's the only way. That's the only way to get anything in the dunya or in deen. Look, if I said to you that you can get your degree without studying, you will say, no way. If I say that you can study without ilm, you'll say, no way. If I say you can study tafsir without ayat of Quran, you will say, no way. I say you can study hadith without the riwayat and a hadith, you will say, no way. I say you can study fiqh without the masail and legal issues, you will say, no way. If I say you study mathematics without numbers, you will say, no way. I say you can study geography without the names and places, you will say, no way. I say you study history without the dates or events, you will say, no way. Can you become close to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala without ibadah? No way. It's that simple. It's that simple. Can you become the lover of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the beloved of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala without caring? No way. You cannot even become the beloved of a human being without being caring. So how are we going to become the beloved of Allah ta'ala without being caring? So we should think now that this was our illness, and this is my wake-up call. Allah is waking me up in this ayat of the Quran. What has happened to me that I've allowed myself to become uncaring about my relationship with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? What in the world was I thinking? How could I think I could exist without him? How could I think I could ever be happy without him? He's the most important thing in my life, the most important being in my life. My relationship with him must become the most important relationship of my life. And that is something we get in this mercy, in this month of Ramadan. This month of Ramadan has the power that can make us leave this ghafla. And why do I say this? Because this month of Ramadan has built into it so much ibadah that ibadah and worship practically squeezes ghaflat out from our life. There is so much ibadah that is built up into this month of Ramadan. Look, first thing when you fast in the day, the entire fast is worship, it's ibadah. So if you fast, for example, let's say these days you're fasting, right? Let's say from 5 to 7. What is that, right? 5 to 7. There's so many hours, X number of hours. You're fasting. That's about 14 hours. Almost 14 hours of continuous ibadah. Never outside of Ramadan were you able to do any ibadah of any kind for 14 hours. And in this month, Allah Ta'ala gave us a type of ibadah called fasting that we're able to do continually, continuously, persistently for 14 hours. And that is going to start having an effect on your heart. As the days goes by, your ability to do ibadah is going to start to grow more and more and more and more. Then those people who pray Taraweeh prayers, then that means that they stand in the night for about 1 hour of ibadah or 1.5 hour of ibadah. Now you add up, right? At 14 plus 1, 15 hours. 15 hours of ibadah. Or if you do Taraweeh for long, you can 15 and a half hours of ibadah. Then there are people who are going to eat suhoor, sehri, and iftar by making dua and by making niyat that they're eating suhoor. That eating niyat, no, of eating suhoor is also sunnah. So now they can take that up 15 to 16 or 17 hours of ibadah. And you normally will sleep about 6 hours or 7 hours every day. Right? So you add, let's say 16 plus 7, that's 23. 23 hours. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in a Ramadan, 23 out of 24 hours of pure ibadah. If you sleep, let me tell this also, if you sleep at the end of the day in which you did not do any sin during that day, and your niyat, your intention when you sleep is that you want to wake up and not do any sin in the next day, that sleeping is also written as ibadah. You want to recharge yourself for ibadah the next day. That time, 6 or 7 hours that you sleep, is also written as ibadah. So for most of us, due to the barakah of the month of Ramadan, due to this heightened awareness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in Ramadan, we don't sin in this month. We don't do sin in this month. And hence, when we sleep, what is our niyat, our intention? It's to wake up and do ibadah. So when we sleep with that niyat that I want to wake up for suhoor, for ibadah. And I also want to fast the entire day tomorrow, ibadah. So in Ramadan, these 6, 7 hours of sleeping also constitutes ibadah. So just through the fast, and if you can manage to pray Taraweeh and then suhoor, iftar, and sleep, I've brought that up to 23 out of 24 hours of ibadah. Now, what we should try to do in a Ramadan is to spend that 1 hour that is left, one remaining hour in nafil ibadah. And I can reach 24 hours, right? It's possible. But I guarantee you this one thing, that the easiest time it will ever be in your life to do nafil ibadah, any optional ibadah, voluntary ibadah, is this month of Ramadan. If you're already doing something for 23 hours a day, doing it for 1 hour is going to be very easy. Whereas outside of Ramadan, where the vast majority of our time is not spent in ibadah, it is difficult to do nafil ibadah. The easiest month in your life to increase your ibadah, to shed that ghafla, is Ramadan. The easiest month in your life that'll be easy to read Quran is the month of Ramadan. The easiest month in your life it will be to make dua would be this month of Ramadan. The easiest month in your life to make istighfar, to seek the forgiveness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, would be this month of Ramadan. The easiest month in your life it will be to start reciting durood and salawat on the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, to start sending blessings and peace on Sayyidina Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has commanded us in the Quran. Don't think this durood is some other than Islam thing. This durood is not a Veda, this is a ayat of the Quran. Allah says, Inna Allaha wa malaikatahu yusalluna 'alan nabi, ya ayyuhalladhina amanu sallu 'alayhi wa sallimu taslima. To know that indeed Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and each and every one and all of the angels of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, yusalluna 'alan nabi, they send salawat and send durood on the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So ya ayyuhalladhina amanu, O people who believe, sallu alayhi, you should also send salawat on the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, wa sallimu taslima, and send salam on him and blessings and peace upon him. Allahumma salli ala sayyidina Muhammad wa ala ali sayyidina Muhammad wa barik wa sallam. Doesn't take long. This is Quran. Allah Ta'ala in Quran is trying to create a mizaj of insan. That is what Quran is. Very simple. It's not an academic book. It's not a piece of literature. It's not a piece of philosophy. Quran, in fact, is not the way people think it is in the West, the statement of theology. Quran is a message from Rahman to create a temperament in insan. It's about creating our nature, changing our core. That you make your code according to the Quran. You make your mizaj, your nature, your adat according to the Quran. You study the Quran, the tarjumah, the tafsir, but the goal, the purpose is to change your mizaj and make it according to the Quran. Like the Prophet someone asked Umm Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha, that what is the akhlaq of the Prophet like, the character? And she said that, haven't you recited the Quran? The akhlaq that is mentioned in the Quran was the akhlaq of the Prophet. So if I give you the translation of this verse, that verily Allah and the angels send salawat, all if you know the translation, that's not going to help you in any way. We have to make our temperament like the temperament of this verse. Then we are doing amal on this Quran. So means, just for example, take this one verse as an example. We should be thinking in our mind and feeling in our heart that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and all the angels are sending salawat. So I must also be sending salawat and durood on the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, because at the end of the day, I'm also the ummati. I'm also the ummati of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He is a Nabi for everyone, but the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he is also a Nabi for me. He is a Nabi for me. So we are in fact this spiritual sons and daughters of the Prophet. He is our Prophet. He is our spiritual father. So in this month of Ramadan, this is the easiest month for us to increase in our ibadah, any ibadah, every ibadah. So why not we spend 1 hour a day? You can scatter that throughout the day. Maybe 15 minutes you read the Quran some part of the day. 15 minutes you recite istighfar some part of the day. 10 minutes you recite durood some part of the day. 10 minutes you're making dua in some part of the day. 10 minutes you're making zikr, remembrance of Allah, in some part of the day. 10 minutes, 15, 10, 10, 10. If you do that scattered throughout the day, You will end up now reaching that last hour. And then all 24 hours of the day become ibadah. This is the mercy of Ramadan. And this is the purpose of Ramadan. Again, it's not to learn how to stay away from food and drink, but to learn how not to stay away from ibadat. Not to learn how to stay away from food and drink, but to learn how never again to stay away from the Quran and Tasbih. Not to learn how to stay away from food and drink, but to learn how never again to stay away from remembrance of Allah, dua, zikr. Not to learn how to stay away from food and drink, but to learn how never again to stay away from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That is the purpose of this month of Ramadan. And if we make Ramadan with this intention, then by the end of Ramadan, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will accept us among His ibad. We can become among the ibadu salihin, among His worshippers, among His servants, among His righteous, among the pious, among the upright. That's the purpose of Ramadan. To take our names out from that list of ghafilin and put our names on the list of the salihin. That's it. And the beginning of this journey is the fast, the roza. And the end, subhanallah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has so much power in Ramadan that the end of Ramadan is the highest level of closeness with Allah, wilayat, friendship with Allah. And after prophethood, nabuwa, the one rank that comes below nabuwa is wilayat, to be a wali, a friend of Allah. After the anbiya, in the Quran you have the category of awliya. Allah inna awliya Allah. It's mentioned in the Quran. These are Quranic words, Quranic people. Inna awliya Allahi la khawfun alayhim wa la hum yahzanun. That these awliya, the friends of Allah, they have no fear upon them, no sadness, no grief in their life. And the dalil, how a person can get this rank of wilaya, that also comes in the Quran. So Allah Ta'ala in Quran mentions that the whole purpose of fasting is Ya ayyuha alladhina amanu, kutiba alaykum as-siyam, kama kutiba ala alladhina min qablikum, la'allakum tattakun. That the fasting has been prescribed upon you like it was prescribed upon people before you. Why? So that you can adopt taqwa. You can become a person of taqwa. And then Allah Ta'ala says elsewhere in the Quran, in awliya'uhu illa al-muttaqun. That who are the awliya of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala except the people of taqwa. It means taqwa equals wilaya. And Ramadan leads to taqwa. Therefore, Ramadan leads to wilayat. That is the power of the month of Ramadan. Now, has any one of us thought like that about Ramadan? Or about what we want to do? Today we think that I want to become an accountant. I want to become a doctor. I will become an engineer. I will become a lawyer. I'll become a professor. We haven't even dreamt about this, right? That's why all these modern management people tell you that dream big. Have any one of us thought that I want to become the friend of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the wali of Allah ta'ala? We haven't, it's not even in the wish list, the dream list. Have you ever made dua to Allah that Allah, I want to be your wali, I want to be your friend, your beloved, your lover? Ramadan is the month to dream big about your deen. Ramadan is the month to reach for the stars when it comes to deen. That one, some day or some night or some portion of the day or some portion of the night, just to make this dua to Allah. Ki Allah, main aapka wali banna chahta. Main aapka banna chahta. That Allah, I want to become your friend, your wali. I just want to become yours. This is something we should ask Allah. This is a big thing to ask. We should make these du'as in some part, some portion of the day or the night. This is the month to make this du'a. In this month of Ramadan, we should make this du'a that, oh Allah, I also want to become your intimate friend. I also want to be your lover. Why should I stay behind? Why should I stay back? I also want to come forward. I also want to advance. I also want to proceed towards you. I also want your qurb. I also want your closeness. I also want to learn to know you. I want to be able to feel you. I want to be able to feel your closeness and intimacy. I want to be able to have ma'rifat of you, to increase in my muhabbat for you, to increase in my ta'alluq with you. That is the purpose of this month of Ramadan. So may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accept all of us to spend Ramadan with this niyat, that we want to spend this month of Ramadan to change ourselves. We want to spend this month of Ramadan to purify ourselves of this ghafla, of this neglect, of this uncaring attitude that we have towards Allah. And we want to spend this Ramadan trying and striving to attain Allah's wilaya, to attain His qurb, to attain His love, to attain His ta'alluq. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant all of us the tawfiq to do amal. Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen. سبحان ربي الوهاب اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم ربنا ظلمنا أنفسنا وإن لم تغفر لنا وترحمنا لنكونن من الخاسرين لا إله إلا أنت سبحانك إني كنت من الظالمين يا الله يا ربي كريم ہم آپ کے عاجز مسکین سے بنتے ہیں، ہمارے گناہوں کو معاف فرما، اللہ ہماری خطاؤں کو درگزر فرما، ہمارے عیبوں کی پردہ پوشی فرما، یا رب کریم اپنی محبت اپنی عشق کی آتش ہمارے سینے میں پیدا فرما، ہمارے انگ انگ سے اپنے ذکر کو جاری فرما، ہمارے روئے روئے سے اپنی محبت کو جاری فرما، ہماری نگاہوں کو پاک فرما، ہمارے دلوں کو صاف فرما، ہمارے سینوں کو اپنی محبت سے لبریز فرما. یا رب کریم، یا اللہ، آپ سے بہت سارے لوگ دنیا مانگتے ہیں، کوئی آپ سے کارے مانگتا ہے، اللہ ہم آپ سے آپ کی رضا مانگتے ہیں. یا رب کریم، یا اللہ، ہمیں اپنی رضا عطا فرما دیجئے، اللہ اپنی لقا نصیب فرما، اپنی رضا نصیب فرما. یا رب کریم، یا اللہ، آپ سے آپ کو مانگتے ہیں، اللہ اپنا تعلق نصیب فرما، اپنا تعارف عطا فرما، اللہ اپنی محبت اپنی معرفت نصیب فرما، اللہ اپنی معیت اپنا مشاہدہ عطا فرما. یا رب کریم، یا اللہ، ہم کمزور ہیں، ہر کمزور قوی کو پکارتا ہے، اللہ آپ قوی ہیں. یا رب کریم، یا اللہ، اپنی قوت سے یا اللہ ہمیں اپنے مقرب بندوں میں شامل فرما دیجئے. اللہ اپنے قرآن میں فرمایا فإنی قریب، کہ میں تمہارے قریب ہوں، یہ بھی فرمایا نحن اقرب الیہ من حبل الورید، میں تمہاری اپنی جان رگ جان سے زیادہ قریب ہوں. یا رب کریم، یا اللہ، ہم بھی اس قرب کو محسوس کرنا چاہتے ہیں، اللہ ہمیں بھی اس قرب کا استحضار عطا فرما دیجئے، ہمیں بھی اللہ اپنے مقرب بندوں میں شامل فرما دیجئے، اپنے چاہنے والے بندوں میں عطا فرما دیجئے. یا اللہ، اپنی چاہت کو اور بڑھا دیجئے، اللہ اپنی محبت کی آتش ہمارے سینوں میں لگا دیجئے. یا رب کریم، ہم نے بڑوں سے سنا ہے کہ محبت کی آگ سینے میں خود لگتی نہیں ہے، لگائی جاتی ہے. اللہ ہمارے سینوں کے اندر اس محبت کو لگا دیجئے. ہمارا دل آپ کی دو انگلیوں کے درمیان ہے، یقلبھا کیف یشاء، اللہ آپ جہاں چاہے پھیر سکتے ہیں. اللہ ہمارے دل کو اپنی طرف پھیر دیجئے، غیر کی محبت ہمارے دلوں سے نکال دیجئے، نفسانی شیطانی محبتوں کے اللہ ہمارے دلوں کو پاک کر دیجئے. اللہ اپنی محبت کو ہمارے دل کے اندر بھر دیجئے. اللہ پورے دل کے ساتھ اللہ آپ سے محبت کرنے کی توفیق عطا فرما، اللہ پوری محنت کے ساتھ اللہ آپ کو راضی کرنے کی توفیق عطا فرما، اللہ اپنی محبت کے اندر ہمیں شدت نصیب فرما، अपनी मोहब्बत के अंदर हमें रसूख और दवाम अता फरमा। अपनी मोहब्बत में अल्लाह यकसुई अता फरमा। अल्लाह जो भी गैर की ख्यालात हैं, जो ख्वाहिशात हैं गैर वाली, अल्लाह तमाम नफसानी शैतानी ख्वाहिशात को दूर फरमा दीजिए, हमारे सीनों को पाक फरमा दीजिए, हमारे दिल को अल्लाह कल्बे सलीम बना, कल्बे मुनीब बना, कल्बे मुनव्वर बना। अल्लाह हमारे दिलों की सख्ती को दूर फरमा, अल्लाह दिलों पे जुल्मत को दूर फरमा, अल्लाह हमारे दिलों की गफलत को दूर फरमा। अल्लाह हम इस गफलत से थक चुके हैं, अल्लाह अपनी नमाजों के अंदर गफलत को दूर फरमा, हमारी इबादात के अंदर गफलत को दूर फरमा, हमारे ज़िंदगी के अंदर गफलत को दूर फरमा। या रब्बे करीम, या अल्लाह हमें जिक्र वाली ज़िंदगी नसीब फरमा, अपने ताल्लुक और कुर्ब वाली ज़िंदगी अता फरमा, अपनी मोहब्बत और मारफत वाली ज़िंदगी नसीब फरमा। या रब्बे करीम, हर दम अल्लाह हमें जाकिर बना दीजिए, हर दम अल्लाह हमें अपने जिक्र करने वाला बना दीजिए। अल्लाह कुछ बंदे ऐसे हैं कि चलते फिरते उठते बैठते हर वक्त उनके दिल में अल्लाह आप ही की याद होती है। या रब्बे करीम, हमें भी अपने उन बंदों में शामिल फरमा लीजिए। अल्लाह उन बंदों का जिनका कुरान में आपने फरमाया अल्लज़ीना यज़कुरून अल्लाह क़ियामन व क़ुऊदन व अला जुनूबिहिम, कि वो खड़े बैठे लेटे हर हाल में अल्लाह दिल में आपको याद कर रहे होते हैं, अल्लाह हमें भी ऐसा दिल अता फरमा दीजिए, ऐसा जाकिर दिल अता फरमा कि अल्लाह आपको भूलना चाहे भी तो भूल ना सके। अल्लाह माँ का बेटा फौत हो जाए तो उसके दिल में अपने बेटे की मोहब्बत एक याद होती है, वो भूलना चाहे भी तो भूल नहीं सकती, भुलाना चाहे भी तो भुला नहीं सकती। या रब्बे करीम, जिस तरह माँ के दिल में आपने उस बेटे की मोहब्बत को रख दिया, अल्लाह हमारे दिल में अपनी मोहब्बत को डाल दीजिए। अल्लाह हम आपको भूलना चाहें भी तो भूल ना सकें, भुलाना चाहें भी तो भुला ना सकें। अल्लाह हर दम हमारे दिल में अल्लाह अपनी याद को महफूज फरमा दीजिए, अपनी याद को बढ़ा दीजिए। या रब्बे करीम, हमें जाकिरीन बंदों में शामिल फरमा। या रब्बे करीम, हमें सालिहीन मुत्तकीन बंदों में शामिल फरमा। या अल्लाह हमारे नफ्स को मुतमइन्ना बना, अल्लाह नफ्स की सुस्ती को दूर फरमा। अल्लाह आपने इतनी नेमतें अता फरमाई हैं, अल्लाह सिर्फ अपने नफ्स की सुस्ती की वजह से हम आप तक ना पहुंच सके, अल्लाह इतने सारे कदम को उठा लिया, अल्लाह 100 कदम थे, अल्लाह हमने 90 कदमों को उठा लिया, अल्लाह 10 कदम आप दूर हैं, अल्लाह बस सुस्ती की वजह से आगे नहीं बढ़ पाते। या रब्बे करीम, या अल्लाह हमारी सुस्ती को दूर फरमा दीजिए, जो रास्ता रह गया या अल्लाह अपनी रहमत से तय करवा दीजिए, हमें अपना वसल अपना कुर्ब नसीब फरमा दीजिए, अल्लाह हमें अपना बना दीजिए, अपने मोहिब अपना महबूब बना दीजिए। या रब्बे करीम, अपना मुकर्रब बंदों में शामिल फरमा लीजिए, हमारे नफ्स की इस्लाह फरमा, इस नफ्स की सुस्ती को दूर फरमा। अल्लाह हमारे नफ्स को मुतमइन्ना बना, हमारे नफ्स की कामिल आफियत के साथ इस्लाह फरमा। या रब्बे करीम, रहमतों के साथ हमारी इन दुआओं को कबूल फरमा। या रब्बे करीम, दीन के अंदर हमें मुजाहिदे करने वाला बना, मेहनत और सई करने वाला बना, आगे बढ़ने वाला बना। अल्लाह जिस तरह दुनिया के अंदर आगे बढ़ने की तमन्ना तड़प होती है, अल्लाह उससे कई गुना ज्यादा दीन के अंदर आगे बढ़ने की तड़प अता फरमा, एक सीने के अंदर ला आग पैदा फरमा। अल्लाह हमें अपने आगे बढ़ने की तौफीक नसीब फरमा। अल्लाह साबरीन शाकिरीन बंदों में शामिल फरमा, मोहसिनीन मुतवक्किलीन बंदों में शामिल फरमा। अल्लाह ये जितनी सिफात हैं अल्लाह मोमिनाना, जब हमने कुरान में जिनका जिक्र फरमाया, अल्लाह तमाम के अंदर हमारा भी नाम दाखिल फरमा, तमाम सिफत या अल्लाह में भी अता फरमा। या रब्बे करीम, ये रहमत के साथ हमारी इन दुआओं को कबूल फरमा, जो मांगा है अल्लाह वो भी नसीब फरमा, जो मांगना चाहिए था नहीं मांग सके अल्लाह बिन मांगे नसीब फरमा, अपने शान करीमी और रहीमी और के मुताबिक हमें अता फरमा। या रब्बे करीम, या अल्लाह दिल की जो भी नेक तमन्नाएं हैं, अल्लाह सब की नेक तमन्नाओं को आप जानते हैं, अल्लाह हमारी उम्मीद से बढ़ कर हमें अता फरमा। अल्लाह करीम तो वो ज़ात होती है जो उम्मीद से बढ़ के अता फरमाती है। या रब्बे करीम, या अल्लाह, अल्लाह अपनी रहमतों के साथ हमारी इन दुआओं को कबूल फरमा। अल्लाह आपने में कुरान में फरमाया हुआ अम्मसा इला फला तनहर, कि कोई साइल मांगने वाला आए तो उसको मना ना करना, दे देना। अल्लाह जब हम कमज़ोरों को ये हुक्म है, तो कि उसको मना ना करें, दे दें। अल्लाह हम भी तो आपके दर के साइल हैं। अल्लाह रोज़ा खोलने का वक्त करीब है। आपके महबूब सल्लल्लाहु अलैहि वसल्लम ने फरमाया है कि इस वक्त में मांगी हुई दुआएं अल्लाह आप कबूल फरमाते हैं। या रब्बे करीम, हम आपके दर पे मौजूद हैं। अल्लाह हमने दुनिया में ज़ाबता देखा है कि जब मजदूर अपनी मजदूरी कर लेता है तो उसको पसीना खुश्क होने से पहले उसको उसको कीमत दे दी जाती है, तनख्वाह दे दी जाती है। अल्लाह रोज़े का वक्त, इफ्तारी का वक्त करीब है। अल्लाह पूरे दिन आपकी खातिर रोज़ा रखा है। या रब्बे करीम, या अल्लाह हमारे इस अमल को कबूल फरमा लीजिए। और इस आखिरी मौके पे, आखिरी औकात में, या अल्लाह हम आपसे, आपको मांगते हैं, अल्लाह हमें अपनी मोहब्बत अता फरमा दीजिए, अपनी रज़ा अता फरमा दीजिए, अपनी लिका नसीब फरमा दीजिए, अल्लाह अपनी मारफत अता फरमा दीजिए, अपने साथ एक रिश्ता और ताल्लुक हमें अता फरमा दीजिए, अल्लाह हमें अपना बना दीजिए, अपनी मोहब्बत को हमारे दिलों में समा दीजिए, हमारे दिलों में बहा दीजिए, हमारे दिलों पे छा जाइए। या अल्लाह हमें अपना दीवाना मस्ताना बना दीजिए। या अल्लाह प्यारे महबूब सल्लल्लाहु अलैहि वसल्लम ने फरमाया कि अपने अल्लाह से इतनी मोहब्बत करो हत्ता युकाल अन्नहु मजनून, कि देखने वाले कहें ये तो मजनून है। अल्लाह में अपने साथ एक जुनूनी मोहब्बत अता फरमा। अल्लाह कब तक कानूनी ताल्लुक रहेगा? या अल्लाह अपनी रहमत से हमें अपने साथ एक जुनूनी ताल्लुक अता फरमा, एक जुनूनी मोहब्बत अता फरमा। या रब्बे करीम, रहमतों के साथ हमारी इन दुआओं को कबूल फरमा। या अल्लाह मैं खाली हाथ ना लौटा। अल्लाह हमारे इन उठे हाथों को कबूल फरमा लीजिए। अल्लाह दुनिया का फकीर होता है उसका तो कोई मसला नहीं, उसके सामने तो इतने दरवाजे होते हैं। एक दरवाजे से ना मिले दूसरे गेट पे चला जाता है, दूसरे से ना मिले तीसरे पे चला जाता है। अल्लाह मसला तो हमारा है। अल्लाह आपके दरवाजे के सामने के अलावा और कोई दूसरा दरवाज़ा नहीं। या रब्बे करीम, या अल्लाह अगर आपने ना दिया तो कोई नहीं देगा। या रब्बे करीम, आप रहीम हैं, आप करीम हैं। अल्लाह हम सब जमा हैं आपके दरवाजे पे। या रब्बे करीम, अपनी रहमत से दरवाज़ा खोल दीजिए। अल्लाह हमें अपनी रज़ा अता फरमा दीजिए। या रब्बे करीम, रहमत नसीब फरमा दीजिए, मगफरत अता फरमा दीजिए, हिदायत अता फरमा दीजिए, बरकतें अता फरमा दीजिए। अल्लाह हमें मांगना नहीं आता, बिन मांगे अता फरमा दीजिए। या रब्बे करीम, रहमतों के साथ हमारी इन दुआओं को कबूल फरमा। अल्लाह आपके सिवा कोई मलजा नहीं, कोई मावा नहीं, कोई पनाहगाह नहीं। या रब्बे करीम, इन उठे हाथों को अपनी रहमत से कबूल फरमा लीजिए। अच्छा परेशान होता है तो माँ बाप की तरफ दौड़ता है, और जब बंदा परेशान होता है वो तो अपने परवरदगार की तरफ लौटता है। बेकसों की दस्तगीर, टूटे दिलों को तसल्ली देने वाले, खाली झोलियों को भर देने वाले, अल्लाह हमने झोलियाँ फैलाई हुई हैं। अल्लाह अपनी रहमत से हमारी झोलियों को भर दीजिए। अल्लाह रहमतों वाला मामला फरमा दीजिए, हमारे गुनाहों को माफ़ फरमा दीजिए, हमारी तौबा को कबूल फरमा लीजिए। अल्लाह हम बुरे हैं, बुरों से तो बुराई ही ज़ाहिर होती है, लेकिन अल्लाह आप तो अच्छे हैं। अच्छे लोग तो अच्छाई को नहीं छोड़ते। अल्लाह आप हमारे साथ अच्छाई वाला, दरगुजर और माफ़ी वाला मामला फरमा दीजिए। या रब्बे करीम, हमारे गुनाहों को पाक फरमा, हमारे गुनाहों को नेकियों से तब्दील फरमा, हमें अब इखलास अता फरमा। अल्लाह हमें अपने इल्म में इखलास अता फरमा, अमल में इखलास अता फरमा। या रब्बे करीम, अपनी खशियत नसीब फरमा। अल्लाह जो मांगे वो भी नसीब फरमा। आने वाले वक्त को गुजरे हुए वक्त से बेहतर फरमा। आने वाली ज़िंदगी को गुजरी हुई ज़िंदगी का कफ़ारा बना। रब्बना तकब्बल मिन्ना इन्नका अंतस समीउल अलीम, व तुब अलैना इन्नका अंतत तवाबुर रहीम। व सल्लल्लाहु तआला अला हबीबिही खैर खल्किही मुहम्मदिन व अला आलिही व सहबिही अजमाइन बिरहमतिका या अरहमर राहिमीन।